God where they are in. But they do come from the same God. There's only one God. Just to say, you and I have one body, but we have many components apart. And then here, and going on through here, we find a little different way they're worded than we just read. In the First Corinthians, it says, one is given the word of wisdom. Here it mentions to speak the word of wisdom and to teach the word of knowledge. And the difference in faith as a spiritual gift, it says to some are given exceeding great faith. So to me, everyone at least has faith. So we have, again, the different component parts of the church, like faith, repentance, and baptism, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So to all men, a given faith. And we're told in the scripture, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarded of them that diligently seek him. So we know that without faith, none of us can really please God. So everyone has to have faith. But to some is given exceeding great faith. Out of the ordinary faith is what it is. And that is the gift of faith. So everybody does not have the gift of faith, according to the scripture. And I believe that. The ordinary faith. And another thing that ties is the working of miracles. And this says that it's the working of miracles, it is the work mighty miracles. And to work a mighty miracle, you're going to have just more than this ordinary faith. This is for sure. So really, we kind of tie together. Let us think about that. And this goes on down to, instead of mentioning the spirit of discernment, it says, the behold of angels and messing spirit. Now let's skip over to all about verse 12. And this is brought out a little earlier. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ. See how these gifts come? By the Spirit of Christ. And they come unto every man severally, according as he will. Not you will, but he will. And that's the way it's done. And he would that we would remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And verse 14 says he would exhort each one there, especially if speaking to him as a great priest, your benefit of mine, that he would remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that these gifts which I have spoken, which are spiritual, knows, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. This is the only reason that they'll ever be done away. For no other purpose. Now, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples from 35:9-35, we find one verse that harmonizes what I just brought up. It takes words. And here we find 12 disciples. And Jesus has finished praying and different things of this nature and came to them and said, so great a faith have I never seen among all the Jews. Wherefore I could not do unto them so great a miracle because of their unbelief. Now we know that within the confines of the Bible are a number of various miracles that were performed by Jesus Christ. We know that. And yet he said, if so great a miracle, he didn't say he didn't perform some, but so great a miracle he could not perform among the Jews because of their unbelief. So even among those who believed, evidently, that the Jew of the Jew was unbelief, one person one time said, help my unbelief. And I believe maybe we might need our unbelief help. It's quite possible. I would like to turn to 2 Nephi 12, and this is found in all verses about 1 through 8. And I might not read it all. But in this particular instance, we find that it is time of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. We pinpoint a day. And actually, we're told in this same Book of Mormon, in 3:5, that it would come forth when? In the latter days. That's when it would come forth. So that time is pinpointed. So this starts with the latter days and goes right on into the last day. And at this time, he said that there would be many churches that would be built up. and come and say, "Behold, I am the Lord," and others would say, "Why, I am the Lord." And so we have, upon the face of our earth, upon the face of our nation, a diversity of religions claiming to all be the Lord. I had an individual in the last year say this to me, and he belongs to no church. And he said, there's just one church I would join. But he said, with all these churches, he says, how do I know which one I should join? And it was a pretty good question. And it might did not be too easy to convince him which one to do and which one to join. And really, I can see where this is nothing but confusion if a person had a question in mind. And so it has to be, if it wasn't for the drawing of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, my man might be totally lost, not knowing what to do. And so really, right here, we find a day when it said, this would be, some would say, no, I am the Lord, and others say, I am the Lord. And maybe a person come along and say, no, neither one of them, the Lord, I am. And it says they build up many churches, and then others say, and not unto the Lord. Why wouldn't they be unto the Lord? A lot of them. They contend one with another, and the priest shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning and deny the Holy Ghost which giveth utterance. That is why. Denying the very power of the Holy Ghost that Nephi of old was desirous that he might have, that he might be able to know that thing. And he said that the Holy Ghost is the gift of God and to all who diligently seek him. He didn't say sometimes it's just going to chop it off. And if they aren't going to need it anymore, if this is just an old thing that we don't need anymore, we get along pretty good by our own self. We got pretty smart today. And this is a kind of thinking. Man thinks he's pretty sharp when he gets all the learning he gets. He thinks he's wise and he's on himself. And this has caused the downfall of great nations. They become lifted up in pride, not only because of their possessions, but because of their learning, because of their capabilities, their talents, and all these things. And these things ought not to be. But they deny the Holy Ghost, and this should be, and they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, hearken unto us, and hear our precepts. And really, what precepts do we want to hear? We want to hear the precepts of God. And so how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? And sent of who? Sent of God. There is no other way. For behold, some will say there is no God today. For the Lord and the Redeemer have done his work, and he's given his power unto men. Just look what man is able to do. One time there was a king of old, and his name was King Nebuchadnezzar, and he thought, man, I've got his name. Look what I can do. Look at the kingdom I've got. And Daniel was told him, when he was seeing a certain vision, he said, you better do some reconsider what you're doing. You better deal kindly with the poor, that it might be a lynching of thy tranquility. But after a period of time, Nebuchadnezzar went to Goshen and all what he was doing. He got these drafts with the oxen for 7 years. That's for sure. He was brought down. And if you think God can't bring us down, don't ever get it in your head for a minute that you can't be brought down, just like Nebuchadnezzar said. Maybe not in that same way. I'm not saying he might not do it again, but that might be just a one-time thing. But there's a record of it that shows what God can do. And after his reasoning returned unto him, he knew who was God. He didn't question it anymore. And some would say, behold, hearken ye unto my precepts. If they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand of God, believe it not. For this day he's not a God of miracles. He's done his work. Why, really, does some say, what? Sure, we believe there was miracles. They have back when Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth. But really, now when we think upon this a minute, wasn't there miracles about from the beginning? In fact, I could sit here or stand here and preach for 2 solid hours on nothing but miracles, and I could do it all from the Old Testament. Now, each down, right? We could go back to the time when Elijah was sustained by a widow. And why was he sustained there? Because he caused meal to be in the barrel after it would become empty. It would have become empty. But she did what she was told to do. She had a little cake for Elijah. And after that, there's no barrel and always oil and truth. That was a miracle. You know Elijah, with the man who smoked the River Jordan in his heart. That's a miracle. We could go on there with an iron axe to swim. If you think that isn't very good, try. And he did it. So really, like I said, I could just go on and on of the miracles in the Old Testament. And there's many of them are the things that happened. But I would come down to a little different time. And this is in the book of Acts, the 5th chapter. Actually, in verses 12 through about 16, and it says here, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Many signs and wonders were wrought. Now, I believe these could fall into the line of classification of miracles, really. And it says in verse 14 that the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. And really now, these miracles can be performed by many ways. Some by the spoken word, some by the hand. There's a lot of ways, which I intend to enlarge upon a few of them tonight. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the street, and laid them on beds and couches, that at least, note this, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And I dare say, because of their faith, that they were healed. Now, this is the shadow of Peter passing by, and this was accomplished, this is what it says here. There came also a multitude out of the city, round about unto Jerusalem. They brought their sick folk, and those who were vexed with unclean spirits, and it says they were healed, every one. Now, that's taken in a lot of territory, and we find that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And according to Moroni, if ever these gifts are done away with among the children of men, it will be because of the unbelief of the children of men. So it's going to be a hard time to convince me that these things can't be today like they were then. Because the scriptures won't say that. Now, a little different manner of miracles being performed by the Apostle Paul, the 19th chapter of Acts, and this is found in verses 11 through 20. And it says, and God wrought special miracles, note this, by the hands of Paul. And note the way it is done, so that from his body were brought under the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Now God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, and even these handkerchiefs or aprons that were taken unto these people caused the miracle to be accomplished. Now, like I said, when we go to try to think which way these can be done, there's a lot of ways, and I'm not going to even attempt to go into all of them tonight. What we know here is always when there's a real thing, sometimes there's somebody wants to get in on the show of it, all we know, and thinks they can do it too. And we find in this same reading here that there were certain vagabond Jews, extortioners, and they took it up on themselves to call in the name of Jesus Christ and to try to cast out evil spirits or devils or things of this nature. And there was one fellow that had seven sons that attempted to do this same thing to a person. And then it said the evil spirit that was in this person said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And here these seven were trying to cast out this evil spirit out of this fellow. And they weren't having much success. And the evil spirit won't even know what he said. Who are you? He said, I know Jesus. And I know Paul. But I don't know who you are. And you know what happened to them? And the man whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them and overcame them and prevailed against them. That was seven of them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I mean, that was about the end of their time, that I dare say. So when you try to do something without the power of God, you're in trouble now. That's for sure. You know something like that? He says, this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, all folks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And I dare say that this story would cause a lot of fear to fall on a lot of people. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. It was made great because of this marvelous thing that happened. And many that believed came and confessed and should they be. And the thing in all of this is that even those that were workers of curious art, we know things that maybe of a supernatural way, if not of a godly way. And they brought their books together. You know what they did to these books? They figured they didn't no longer need these things. their old way. They took them out and burned them. And the price of them was 60,000 pieces of silver. That's why they did. They burned. They kind of settled themselves with their old way of life. So mightily do the will of God has prevailed because of the way this works. Now, another one of the miracles, like I said, I came to give and touch on. Really, these are some of the things I love to preach about and to teach about and to bring to our attention. This is in the life of Jesus Christ in 14th chapter of Matthew and it's found in verses 13 through 33. And I'm not going to read it all to you. So we find in this particular instance that after John the Baptist was beheaded and Jesus and the disciples knew about it and he even took his body out and buried it, we find that Jesus, after he heard this, departed thence by ship into a desert place. And then a group of people, a multitude of people came to him. And he had compassion upon them and healed their sick. And we know in this story that it came towards evening. And the disciples wanted to send him away, said, why, they're going to get hungry soon, and we don't have anything to eat. And Jesus Christ said, well, they need not the parts, give them to eat. And they said, well, we've only got five loaves and two fish. And here was a multitude of people. And he said, he commanded to sit down. And you know, this is one of the beautiful stories you know here, time and time again in our lifetime. But I like it, and I think we all would like it. And so they sit down, and he blessed these five loaves and two fish. And he gave his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And after it all came to this multitude, they took up 12 baskets, more than his father. Now that certainly is a miracle. But again, the miracle is a number listed here. That there's 5,000 men besides the women and children were there at that day. Now this would be quite an understatement. And the thing is, I don't believe anybody would only be five with five loaves and two fish. So he wouldn't get very far, and he probably might have trouble until he got done, and most of them were still hungry. The price caused if there would be sufficient there, and even more or less than inside. And then after this, he told his disciples to straightway leave and depart across the sea to take ship, and then he went to the multitude and told them to depart, and he went apart to pray. And during this time, we find that he was alone, but the disciples were out in the sea, or this body of water, I believe it must have been in the sea, the Galilee or not. But anyway, they were out there, and a great storm arose, and it was boisterous waves, and they were kind of considered a circumstance. And then all of a sudden, they saw somebody walking on the water, they were kind of afraid. They said, it is a spirit, and they cried out with fear. And I'll tell you what, there isn't very many people today. If you're down on an ocean or a lake or a river and you're about to capsize, somebody comes walking on the water to you, you might have a little fear, even though you believe this. I'll bet it would characterize like your heart to beat. If you had still lived, that's for sure. You'd be thinking about it. Why? What is this? And here's the disciples of Jesus Christ, his apostles, mind you, who we set first in church. And I don't know, maybe all of them in that little ship. But anyway, they were afraid. Why is the spirit? And Jesus said, be of this fear. It is I, be not afraid. And then Peter answered to him, if thou, and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. And what did Christ say? Come. Peter climbed out of that ship and went to walk into Christ. But all of a sudden, the old wave got a little higher and higher, and he became afraid. He began to sing, and he said, Lord, save me, and the Lord reached out his hand. And then he said, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And then immediately after this, the wind ceased. When they were coming to the ship. Now there are some of the miracles that can happen. And like I said, I can go on and on. And I've only got about half done, or one thing out anyway, so I better not. To everything that is a false thing, the thought comes to me to counterfeit. Now there will be those by the power of God that can perform mighty and great miracles. But we know also there is
prophesied of a day yet. We're living in that day when there will be false Christ and false prophets, and they will perform miracles. So there is a counterfeit. And a counterfeit is something that appears to be the real thing, but it's, and we're all well aware of this currency medium that we use, and constantly people are trying to make a counterfeit and pass it off for the real thing. Some of them are pretty good at it, and some aren't so good. The ones that are pretty good, it takes them all to get caught. But no matter what it is, if it isn't the real thing, it's a phony. That's what's always true. And you might have taken a whole pocket full of it or a whole church full of it. You go down to the bank and they say, no, this is counterfeit. You've already lost all that you have. That isn't the real thing. And so it is with false prophets and things of this nature. And so we find, going back into the book of Exodus, just for a minute, and I'm not going to turn there, because if I do, we may be longer than we think. But this is found in the 7th chapter of Exodus. And it's found in, you can read that in the 7th and 8th chapter. But this is the time wherein Aaron and Moses were there. And Aaron cast down the rod and he comes to make before Pharaoh. He called these magicians and these sorcerers, and they cast down their rods and they all become snakes too. So one was under the power of God and the other was under the power of the devil. But Aaron's rod, for some reason, the one that he had snakes, it ate up all the other snakes. That was a little bit. But anyway, come along shortly, in order for the children of Israel to leave this land, he said there would be plagues if they didn't allow them to leave. And the first plague was the plague of blood. And the rod was raised up by the power of God, and all the waters become blood upon all that face of land. And the fish died, and the tanks, and the people who had this water that wasn't fit to drink. Yeah. And the magicians come in, and they too, their rod and their enchantment, rather enchantment, is right. With their enchantment, they caused that the water could turn to blood too. And so the fair was part of the curtain. Then we go over on to the next one, in the plague of frogs. And next thing we know, Aaron raised up the rod and commanded Moses to raise frogs all over the land. Now this might seem kind of bad if everywhere you step there's a frog. That's for sure. But anyway, in this particular instance, the magicians were able to cause frogs too. But then all these frogs here, finally Pharaoh pleaded with Moses to remove them, and he did, but he still hardly tried. Now the next one is the only time I'm going to go into any further. And that's the plague of life, and that's a lot worse than the plague of frogs. All the dust of the land, everywhere, become life. On man and beast. Now I'll tell you what, this would be a sore comfort to anybody if you were just crawling with life, and everywhere you went, there's more of it beyond you. So really, when we think on this, now, they caused all these lives of evil. After years, the demons thought they would do the same thing, and they couldn't do it. And they said, this is the finger of God. Even the magicians knew what. Boy, we are the kind of grace we thought we were. This is the finger of God now. Now let's turn over to Matthew 24. Jesus Christ, in foretelling a definite time in history. The time of the end and the second coming of Jesus Christ, the last day. And Jesus Christ said, take heed that no man deceive you. So now this is important for everyone here tonight, to take heed that no man deceive you. For it says here, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive you. Now that has a twofold meaning. One of those who come and say, yes, Jesus is the Christ here. He can teach you all these things. And there's going to be those who deceive him. And there's going to be others who actually will be false Christ, which we're sort of going to. In verse 11 it says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Then I just mentioned a thing called counterfeit. There's true prophets, there's false prophets. One's a counterfeit and the other's a real thing. In verse 24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall do great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, if it's possible, it says they could deceive the very elect, but this wouldn't be possible. But here we have false Christ and false prophets doing great signs and wonders. In 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and starting with verse 1, and I'll go into a little more of it. Now we can speak you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together with him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. I told those people, then, don't be soon shaken, that the day of the Lord is at hand, because it is a time for it to be at hand yet. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, because there's going to be false things, yes. For that day shall not come, the coming of Christ shall not come, except there come a falling away first. A falling away from what? A falling away from the church that Christ set up. That's what a falling away is, right? And that a man of sin, or it says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now he will be revealed before this comes. Even a man of sin, and we're going a bit more into that man of sin. And here is a description of this man of sin, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Who's doing that? Or that is worship. So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And there is an individual who claims to that very power, who claims to be the vicar of God, or standing in the place of him. And even in, let's drop them down to verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. And Paul says in the book of Acts, he mentioned about grievous wolves entering in. I'm going to turn to that. That's in Acts 20. And it ties with it, so I really want to read it, so I have it all. This is verses 29 through about 30 or 31. For I know this, that after my departing, Paul knew this, after he was gone, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And even also among their own selves, this is a sad thing, there shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. He says, therefore, watch. Reading all the next verse. Watch. Be alert. Know what is taking place. Don't be deceived. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, that the day of Christ is at hand. For that will not come except there come a falling away first, a falling away from the truth of the church Christ set up. And that is, what do you use the word yet? A counterfeit will come into the place then. One that would have all the resemblance of a real thing, but not the real thing, because of the thing that is high, different from the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Now in this same reading here, going on a little bit further over, that this mystery of iniquity does already work, and it says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now I believe that was the Roman Empire, taken out of the way. And then after that, the fall of the Roman Empire, and then shall that wicked be revealed, this son of perdition, that man of sin, I'm going back to others, whom the Lord shall consume. And that's in a future day, yes, ahead of us, with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. And notice this, with all power and signs and lying wonders. There'll be lying wonders and signs. And with all deceivableness, there'll be a lot of deceit and deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They did not receive that. Let's turn over to Revelation 13 and tie in this man of sin a bit with this. And in this particular instance, it ties in with John the Revelator seeing a beast coming up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, based on the 13th chapter of this text. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And I won't go into all the details of this,
But it says that this beast, that the dragon gave him his power, and the dragon is the devil, gave this beast his power, his seat, and his great authority. And then he says, I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wounds were healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. What a sad thing. And they worshiped the dragon, which is the devil, which gave power unto his beast, which is tied with that man of sin we just read about. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Who can overcome him? Before we go into the rest of this here, I would like to turn to Revelation, the 19th chapter. And read some from the 11th through the 16th verses, and then down 20 through 21, or rather 19 to 20. And in this particular vision, or revelation that is revealed unto John the Revelator, he saw heaven open, and he beheld a white horse. Now, I want you to notice this. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. And it goes on down how this individual was. He was clothed with the best redemption blood. And it says, his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed this person upon this white horse. And it says, they followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he could smite the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And we find other scriptures that indicate the rod of iron is the word of God. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And notice this, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name that King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, going over to verse 19. And I saw the beast. Going back to this beast in Revelation 13, tying with what I read in 1 Thessalonians, the second Thessalonians, the second chapter, about the man of sin, the son of perdition, all these tied together. And the compound part of it. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies, notice it, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, on his white horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him, which has something new in him, the false prophet. And this false prophet wrought miracles before this beast, with which he deceived them that had received what? The mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both, the beast and the false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Kind of hard work, too. But nonetheless, this is what he said. Now, this false prophet here is the one that had power to accomplish miracles before the beast and deceive the people that will receive the mark of the beast. Now, like I said, I'm going to turn back to Revelation, the 13th chapter. I start reading with 5 and just briefly go over this. And there was given unto this beast, I'm putting this in here, it backs up to it that I read. It had its power and authority from the dragon. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And on down in 7 and 8, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. It's already happened. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of Christians were killed. And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, and notice this, whose name is not written in the book of life, of Lamb, place, and foundation of the world. Now there is one individual who is ahead of a church who claims it is. He claims that he is as God and stands in the place of God. Now down in verse 11, and I beheld another beast. I don't think that there's a lot of beasts coming out here. Anyway, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. I don't think you notice this. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Well, anyway, these 2 horns like a lamb would seem like maybe coming in kind of general, but he's saved by the dragon. Beware.
false prophet there, the beast and the false prophet, who was able to cause these wondrous miracles to be done, to deceive those who see the mark of the beast and the story unfolds right now before our eyes. And it says he exercises all the power of this first beast before him and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship this first beast whose deadly wounds were healed. And he does great wonders, notice this, so that he makes a fire come down from heaven inside of men. And then notice this here. And he deceiveth them by the means of those miracles which he has power to do in the sight of the beast. So he deceived them by these miracles which he could do. And then another thing you understand, and really a lot of this is yet all the time fire. It says things to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. They were to make an image to this beast that had the wound of the sword and could live. And notice the type of power this false prophet has. It says he has power to give life even to the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both see. Notice that. That's a lot of power, isn't it? And cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And then he causes both small and great, rich and poor, to receive the mark of the beast, for they should not buy nor sell. And it says it is the number. It says here is the name of the beast, or the number of the beast. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. You know, recently, I looked up an old place and cut this out at the Monument Movie Center. And how many of you noticed this ad? I don't know, maybe some of you have it. But it is the highest expense because no man can get it. It is the greatest fear because it is the ancient fear of the unknown. And another factor, it is a warning foretold for thousands of years. It is our final warning. It is the Omen. How do you know this? It is the Omen. But inside that circle is 666. Now, I don't know how many of you know. It's right there in that thing we have. Inside that circle is a 6, and two smaller, or two other 666 numbers. 666. Okay, it's something that's kind of interesting. And so it's something that we could do well to take heed of. And so, Jesus Christ in the book of Luke says, walk and pray always. This is our salvation. This is our way. Walk and pray always. Get a little different, but it really is worthy. Luke 21:30 says, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And so I hope and pray that we might take heed of these things that are in the Scriptures, that we might walk and pray always, that we might be worthy to stand before the Son of Man, and no matter how tough it gets, that we might not forsake the living God, that we might put our trust in Him, and also that we might always realize that there is a counterfeit in the real thing. And some of these prophets will seem like a real thing, like they really had a power from God. So we certainly need one of the other spiritual gifts.